when we start to do that, when we start to notice a problem but turn it into a solution, and when we are then able to look at the glass half full, it takes us to our next step in becoming a visionary entrepreneur or a visionary leader. And that is then taking our idea, then taking the solution or the silver lining piece, and stopping and really triaging whether or not we've got something here.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. Okay, so here is the deal over the next few weeks. I've really, really wanted to do this in 2019, and we've been so blessed with incredible guests, and it has been such a full year in terms of all the things that we have been up to that I have not had the chance to do the solo episodes that I have really wanted to bring you. And so, in the spirit of very last minute, I'm going to sneak these things in at literally the 11th hour. I know that this is getting released on New Year's Eve, but there's really no time like the present to actually make things happen. So what I've decided to do over the next 3 weeks is bring you three different solo episodes related to the three verticals that we talk about on the Entrepology Podcast: business, body, and inner badass. And I want to bring these to you at the dawn of a new decade, at the beginning of a new year, and really with the spirit of resetting ourselves as we walk into 2020. And so these were going to be short, punchy little episodes with a really specific intention behind them. And that is to lay the foundation for a whole new story. You know, I really believe that we are the author of our own life stories. And as we are able to create space within our lives to start to author those stories and build those stories the way we want and really acknowledge that we have power over them, it's a really incredible and amazing time. And I think that as we move into this new decade, there's a real opportunity for us to be able to do that. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about how to be a visionary entrepreneur, how to serve as a visionary in your own life. So even if you're not an entrepreneur, how do we actually start to be that person who's got this incredible vision? You know, I ask everyone at the end of the Entrepology Podcast, are we entrepreneurs or do we learn to become that way? And we get very mixed responses. So anyone who's been hanging out with me for a period of time knows that there is no set answer to this question. And I think part of it is, I think for some people, it's incredibly easy to slip into that visionary role. They have ideas that they just can't turn off. And for others, they have a hard time brainstorming. And what I've tried to do is I've actually tried to break down some of the systems and things that I do in my own processes and in my own life so that I can actually execute and hang out in my strongest visionary state. So my personal natural state is I'm one of those people who just has an abundance of ideas. And when I really sat down and meditated on it and really broke it down and tried to understand where that came from, I realized that it's actually patterns of thinking that I've conditioned myself around that enable me to do that. And similarly, what I've seen is for those individuals who have a harder time serving and acting as a visionary, they actually don't necessarily invoke these patterns of thinking the same way. So what I wanted to do for you guys in our first of three episodes where we're breaking down the business, body, and inner badass is start to give you some steps, the seven steps that I've outlined to help you become more visionary. And I think this is so timely on New Year's Eve because 2020 is the year of the visionary. And so I want to lay these out for you And what I'd also love to hear over in our Anthropology Collective in our Facebook group is what you think of these. And honestly, what you would add to this list, because I think we each come into our visionary role at different times and for different reasons and with different levels of impetus. And I'd really love to hear yours. In fact, I would love to add to my list so that I can actually strengthen my visionary muscle over the next year. So here are my 7 steps to visionary habits. And I'm going to, in this process, elaborate on them a little bit for you as well, so you've got some context. So the very first one, and this is actually something I talk about as well when I'm really relating to this idea of finding your purpose, but the first prerequisite for hanging out in a visionary state is you actually need creative space. And I don't mean physical space, although you may need that. And that should be like a clean space without distractions, not kids, not with the TV on, not, you know, really clean, empty space. But I really mean here mental space. And so one of the cornerstones of the Anthropology time system, when I talk about how do we start to set up our schedule so we have more room, literally so we have more hours in the week to do our work, is that I need entrepreneurs, I need go-getters, I need people who want to have vision and purpose in their life to literally create the space to explore that. And I have not found that my best ideas come to me when I am in a flurry of business or busyness, when I am trying to get things done by a deadline, when I am rapidly trying to execute on my to-do list. That is not when I am acting as a visionary entrepreneur. That is when I'm acting as a crazy person. And that's the reality for so many of our lives. And if we want to hang out there all the time, we can. And so the only way to actually have creative space is to make it. So part of that is blocking it out in your schedule. Enabling you to have that time in your schedule means you have to work with the people around you so they support you in having that creative space, but you need to actually make it. And it doesn't matter whether you're working for a company and you have less control over your schedule or you are your own boss, you need to create boundaries around that piece. And that might mean on Saturday mornings, you're getting up early and you're going to a spin class and then you're going to sit with a cup of coffee and a journal and just write down those ideas. If you live near water, this is always where I get really visionary ideas. Sometimes just taking the space and time to go for a walk. But I have found personally that that creative space is best served when I'm actually alone, when I don't have demands placed upon me, and I can just let my mind wander. You've got to start out by creating creative space. I know I had Giovanni Marsico from Archangel on about a month ago, and he talked about how every week he goes and he watches a movie. And he takes that time and he doesn't go with anyone else because it's one of those things that triggers creativity for him. He actually puts time into his schedule to daydream. And Giovanni is such an amazing example of a visionary entrepreneur. But you'll see this when you start to look at visionaries in our society. They have habits and they have boundaries around how they leverage their creative space. So it's the first step in how to become a visionary. The second is a pattern of thinking. So for a very long time in my life, what I realized is I quite enjoy being contradictory. That's probably why I went into naturopathic medicine. It's probably why I've made a bunch of decisions in my life. But here's the thing, and here's the pattern of thinking that I brought to that piece. So it is very easy for any of us to play devil's advocate. And I know in our relationships or sitting around a meeting, you know, when you haven't been paying attention, suddenly you're paying attention, you want to sound smart, so you play devil's advocate. Great. All intelligent people are capable of playing devil's advocate. The problem is that acting as the devil's advocate and articulating as a devil's advocate is a dead end to visionary thinking. So a capacity to notice problems all around you is actually a prerequisite to being a visionary. And I had a day, I made a conscious decision. I was like, I want to see where there's room for disruption in our society, where we could bring entrepreneurial solutions. So literally from like walking down the street and being aware of like water dripping off of roofs to going into the dry cleaners and being painfully aware that this was an industry that had very little change in the last 40 years, to all of the other activities I went through at the day. And I just observed. I just observed where there were opportunities to improve efficiency, where I was stumbling through my day encountering problems, but I didn't articulate them. I didn't say, yeah, well, this is a terrible system at the dry cleaners and they should improve it. That's the devil's advocate piece. What I did is I noticed those problems and then I reframed them. Well, what is the solution that I could bring to the table? How can I actually solve the problem? And so a very small part of the thinking is actually noticing them, is actually playing the devil's advocate. It's actually taking it a step further and really serving as the angel advocate. If you were given the responsibility of solving the problem, how would you articulate that solution? And you do not always have to have the most incredible idea when it comes to finding a solution, but you have to get in the habit of thinking in a solution-oriented manner. So there's two steps here, really, when it comes to thinking this way. It's one, interrupting the habit of thinking in a devil's advocate way. And two, when you catch yourself doing that, shut down any deep desire to just shout out your devil's advocate perspective and take a moment to actually articulate a solution. It takes practice. But the thing is, and those people who are like, can't shut off their ideas, these are people who almost without noticing are picking up on problems and challenges in their space, and their brain is now conditioned to immediately jump to a solution as opposed to always seeing the problem. And this takes me to step three in how to become a visionary. It is about practicing viewing the world and the glass half full. And so, like I said, I quite enjoy being a contrarian. And what I noticed I had a habit of doing, especially when I was in practice with my patients, is that they would be throwing down all of the problems in their life. And my inherent nature was to immediately flip those problems around and always find the silver lining. Now, I had enough emotional intelligence to know that that probably wasn't going to be the best approach in terms of working with all of these individuals. But I was actually very aware and have been aware for a long time that that's how my brain is conditioned to work. So again, it's hearing those problems, but not necessarily being pulled down the rabbit hole of what the problem is. It's immediately going, well, what is actually the silver lining in this situation? What is the positive outcome and the positive spin that we can pull? It's the same idea as starting your day from a place of gratitude. We are so much more solution oriented when we are pulled towards the positive than when we hang out in the negative. It's an entirely different physiological and neurological space. And so again, just as noticing the problems and not moving into that devil's advocate place, it's also when we hear news, constantly being able to reframe it to what happens to be the positive in this given situation. So when we start to do that, when we start to notice a problem but turn it into a solution, and when we are then able to look at the glass half full, it takes us to our next step in becoming a visionary entrepreneur or a visionary leader. And that is then taking our idea, then taking the solution or the silver lining piece, and stopping and really triaging whether or not we've got something here. So I know so many of us have had this experience where we've heard about an invention or we've heard a business and we're like, oh my gosh, I totally could have thought of that. I kind of feel that way about like modern art. The artists would disagree with me, but you know, post-it notes, oh, you know, I totally could have thought of that thing, or Uber or any of these other like innovative, disruptive things. Oh yeah, if I thought about that, I totally could have come up with it. That's not that complicated. See, the thing is that for any of these things to actually make it to market, there are 10 times the number of things that have been really great solutions that people have come up with that they have tried and that they have failed with. And the key triage piece when we're in these situations where we've noticed problems, we come up with a solution or we're looking at the silver lining, is to ask this question. And it's a key question when you're working towards becoming a visionary entrepreneur. And that is the solution that I just came up with actually useful? Or is it just something that is helpful to me in this one moment? See, for things to be massively disruptive in our society, they actually need to be scalable. We have to have a clear idea as to who and how that particular solution that you just came up with can help more than one person. So it's lovely if you can find a one-off way to assist someone, but to really work towards becoming that visionary entrepreneur, it's another step in that thinking. It's going, huh, I noticed the problem. Here is my solution, and stopping and saying, is this solution actually something that can be useful? to more people than just me. And these are really critical thresholds in a thinking pattern that visionary entrepreneurs get used to doing. It's why we don't tell you all of the ideas that come out of our mouths. We actually bring the most useful ones to the table. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to bring the most useful ones to the table, it takes us to our next step in becoming a visionary. And that is being willing to be wrong. When I was young, my dad and I, we would talk about business a lot. And it was just he and I. We would sit at the table. And the first thing he'd have me do every morning, this was back in the day where you could actually read like where individual stocks were in the newspaper. And I'd come down, he had three stocks I was watching. Disney was one of them. And I would look and I would see where it was going. We would talk about some of the reasons that it might be going up or it might be going down. And this was very high, high level conversations because I was actually quite wrong. I mean, right, wrong, quite young. But the other thing we would do is we would also talk about different business ideas. This whole process I'm talking about in terms of how to become a visionary, we would talk through this on a daily basis. It was so secondary to us. And one of the things that I noticed would happen is I would bring an idea to the table. So I thought of a solution. I'm like, oh, this would be so great. And here's the problem. And I literally went through all the steps I just shared with you. And 9 times out of 10, he would say to me, that's a really cool idea, but here's why it's not going to work. He can play devil's advocate, which I just told you not to do, but that was his role in this situation. And what that exercise did was it completely normalized for me this idea that all of my ideas are great, but they're still worthy of being on the table. And so it reduced for me the emotional risk of sharing my idea out loud. The other thing that it got me to do in a very practical way is really start to think about some of the pressures that are placed upon a business that enable them to be successful or not successful. But when we're talking about how to become that visionary entrepreneur and we're really getting in the habit of a new way of thinking, those deeper and more granular economic pressures aren't as relevant. What I want you to focus on is just getting into the pattern of thinking. And one of the most critical things you're going to do is be willing to be wrong, which leads us to our sixth step, which is be comfortable with risk. And the nice thing about starting to articulate a business idea and throwing one on the table and engaging in conversation around it is that you are not simultaneously forced to put half of your net worth down with that idea as well. And so I think half of the time we are scared to share our idea or the solution because we're scared about what other people are going to think. And the nice part about moving through some of the steps that I've already shared with you, noticing the problems, finding the solution, determining whether or not it's useful, can it help many people, is that it actually starts to give you a process so that your best ideas are actually percolating up to the table. But the other thing you're going to realize when you start to share them out loud, no one really cares that much. I mean, they care in a good way, but no one is really that concerned that this sharing of your idea is suddenly going to be emotionally catastrophic for you. In fact, you will realize as you engage in conversation, people are really either going to like it or they're just going to roll on to the next conversation piece. What we build up in our mind as being these massive barriers or these huge sources of potential shame and embarrassment in our life rarely ever amount to that. And I suspect some of the most innovative ideas that could be helping our society and could be helping us at large are actually missed because people are simply scared to share them. And one of the things that is just so required in order to serve as a visionary and in order to enact that role from a place of leadership is to be willing to let go of the risk personally and emotionally associated with sharing it. Because the consequences are simply that people aren't going to listen. No one is going to judge you beyond that. Those people with really cool ideas who contribute to conversations in an innovative way, really, do you go home at the end of the day and say, man, I'm so tired of listening to Bill's ideas? Or, you know what? If Mary shares one more innovative way of changing the world, I'm just not going to be friends with her anymore. No one thinks that way. People are really excited. People build off ideas. This is actually where innovation takes place. But that key function in leadership is start to release the risk. And the last step, the seventh step to becoming a visionary entrepreneur or leader, is you have to take these ideas, the best ones that percolate through, and you've got to write them down. You know, a few years ago, I started to record some of these visionary ideas that would come to me, because half the time I would have this really great idea. I would quickly tell Greg, my husband, and then we get home from wherever we were going, and I'd be like, what was that idea I had again? And it's gone. And it literally, I don't think it ever came back. And there was some gems in there. But here's the thing that started to happen when I started to actually write down these visions, visions for my business, visions for our family, visions for trips that we wanted to take, just the vision that I wanted to have in my life. It actually all started to come true. And it doesn't matter whether you are looking to build more wealth in your family or whether you are looking to travel or looking to build out your business in a new way. If you don't write it down, if you don't add it to that proverbial vision board, it gets lost. It gets lost in the osmosis and the dilution and the busyness of life. You need to write it down. So today, on New Year's Eve, on the eve of a new decade and the eve of the year of the visionary, here's what I'm going to encourage all of you to do. Make a really conscious effort to shift the way you think and to start by simply writing down those best ideas. I think that we all have something massive to contribute. And when we create the space to do it, when we change the way we think, when we become solution oriented, and when we are willing to share, that is when the best innovation comes forward. So that is my challenge to all of you. On top of that, I want to wish all of you an incredible new year. I hope you've all been enjoying the holiday season. I'm really excited to share with you some incredible things that we have coming down the pipeline in 2020. We've got some new expansions happening with Anthropology Labs. For the clinicians who are in our audience, we've got some incredible stuff coming your way. But most excitedly, I am committing to this year, making 2020 a year where I have space. Space is actually my word of the year. I want to create more space so that I have a stronger creative capacity to bring to the table, and so that I actually have more space and freedom to hang out with the people that I love. So that is my vision. That is where I am stepping into in 2020. I would love to hear your vision, your version of what 2020 is going to look like. And we're having that conversation over in our Facebook group, the Anthropology Collective. Wishing all of you guys a very, very happy new year, and we'll see you again here next week.